What is going on, Tan and J-Man Show Nation? We're back with episode 450 of the Tan and J-Man Show. I am the J-Man. Sitting next to me in a different state is the Tan Man. How you doing tonight there, T-Dog?
Doing good, J-Man. I know we kept teasing we're coming up on episode 450, but it's kind of hard to believe that, that it's here. You know, we always kind of, every time we hit 100, a number around 100, you know, 100, 200, 300, 400, or something, the 50s, it's a pretty big deal. So next milestone will be 500. It's really hard to believe. And I was just sitting there the other day thinking how much podcasting has changed since we've started doing these on a weekly basis. I mean,
everybody and their mother has podcasts.
Yeah, they do. That's the scary thing. Anybody with a computer, you don't even need one of these or one of the headsets you're wearing. You don't even need a microphone. You just need a computer anymore.
You don't even have to be good at it. Hence 450 episodes of this.
Yeah. Just talk nonsense. Just have fun with it. But podcasting has changed a bunch. I mean, I remember we pretty much from the start were doing simulcasts. Mm-hmm. I mean, we started doing audio and video pretty quickly, maybe not the whole time. But then, of course, ISC Sports Network brought us on in March of 2019. That's when we started going live every week. And I don't know. Like, it's hard to think of doing a podcast not live, at least this show.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we talk about it a lot, but back when we wouldn't do it live, it would take us a little bit to get going because we had the luxury of stopping. We'd either start laughing or somebody'd say something stupid or stumble over their words. But now the show must go on.
Yep. Yep. So happy 450th episode. And here's the many more.
Yeah. 500 will be about 2 weeks ago next year.
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah. Man, we'll have to do something big. I don't know what, but we'll have to do something big. But
yes, sir.
I brought some birdie or bogey with me this evening. One of our topics we're going to be talking about tonight, thanks to a good friend of the show, loyal listener, Aaron Lynch. He wants to know kind of what we think is currently the best pro sports city, which pretty good debate. I think you can throw out a couple. So that got me thinking. There's 13 cities in America that have all four major sports teams. Can you name the one city out of those 13 who has the longest championship drought?
That's a heck of a question. Man, that's good. No, I can't. 13 cities have won in all four, you said, right?
Yep, they have. They are home of all four.
All four, okay.
And all of them have one championship.
One championship, sure.
At least one, you know. So, but there's one city
longest drought
is waiting to win a championship longer than all the rest.
Birdie or Bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House for good cuisine, cocktails, casual atmosphere. Look at 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana. Go check them out.
That was impressive that you knew the building number.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you've been doing a read for a while, but
I do it every week. I almost screwed that one up, though.
You almost did.
Got there for a second.
You almost did. But over the weekend, they had shrimp and beef pepper steak. Tender shrimp and seasoned thin sliced beef sauteed with blistered peppers, onions, and garlic tossed in their savory Asian soy ginger sauce, served over a bed of fluffy rice topped with crispy wontons and a sprinkle of sesame. Looks good. I like shrimp. I like beef. I like rice. Sign me up.
Sounds right up your alley.
It does.
It is 4th of July week.
Yes, sir.
And it is Friday. And so I'm going to go right into my blind ranking.
All right.
I took five people that are synonymous with either 4th of July, the American Revolution, Declaration of Independence, and put them together. And now you got to rank them.
Is there any criteria on my rankings, or is it just up to me, however I want to rank them?
It's up to you, but I'm going to judge away because that's what I want to do. Starting with Paul Revere.
Wow, the British are coming.
Yes.
That's all I remember about the guy, really.
I've been past his house in Boston. It's still there. It's a hole in the wall, but it's still there.
I should know a lot more about Paul Revere than I do. I think we learned quite a bit about him in like middle school, maybe late elementary school. I don't know. I'll put him at number four. I'll put Gerald Paul at number four.
Yeah, I think you'll be okay with him at number four. Number two is Takaru Kobayashi.
Ah, so before Joey Chestnut came around, Kobayashi walked so Joey could run. Mm. I do watch the Hot Dog Eating Contest
every year. Yeah, it's gross, disgusting. But I watch it.
And I'm like, man, how many could I do? And I never have tried it because I don't want to throw up and lose my love of hot dogs because I really like hot dogs. Man, that is an American staple, but he's not American. I'll go three.
George Washington.
Oh, man. I mean, he's on the $1 bill.
Yeah.
He was the first president of the United States. He was a famous leader in many different wars. Mm-hmm. I think I got to put George at one.
Got
$1 bill, number got first it. President, number one.
That's the only one I was waiting to see where you'd put him because I was going to judge you hard on that because I think he's a pretty easy number one.
Good looking wig too.
Yeah. Yes. Unfortunately, didn't have the greatest dental care, but
wooden teeth. Did we ever see a picture of him smile? I feel like we didn't.
For one, the first photograph was taken well after he was dead. So, it would have had to have been some sort of portrait, but, I don't know if we, ever did see an accurate portrayal. The fourth guy I have here is Joey Chestnut.
Well, I gotta put him over Kobayashi. Mm-hmm. So I gotta put Joey at number two, fellow Hoosier, lives in the Hoosier state here in Indiana. Yeah. Pops up at sporting events all over the place. Not only does he have the world record for hot dogs, let me Google real quick. I mean, the dude owns world records for tons of different eating competitions. Started his eating career in 2005. He has, let's see here.
I started my eating career in 1992.
I mean, I don't know if he has all these still, but at one time he had the record for jalapeno poppers, grilled cheese sandwiches, horseshoe sandwiches, Italian sausages, pulled pork, chicken wings, crystal hamburgers, pulled pork sandwiches again, steak, funnel cake, Philly cheesesteaks, Pizza Hut Pizzones. I remember those.
I do. Salt,
salt potatoes, Taco Bell tacos, shrimp wontons, corned beef sandwiches, tamales, apple pie. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on and on. Let's see. This year he has done bologna slices. 15 pounds, 12 ounces, 8 minutes.
Yikes.
8 minutes. And popcorn.
He
24 ounces, 42 servings in 8 minutes.
He can't really like food all that much anymore, right? Like, he eats so much of it. Like, he's not going to go to, like, a place and order a hot dog, probably, is he?
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah.
Last year at St. Elmo's, famous St. Elmo's in Indianapolis, on December 7th, 2024, he ate 21 pounds of shrimp cocktail in 8 minutes.
Isn't that cocktail sauce, like, ridiculously spicy?
It's got a stupid amount of horseradish. It will open up your sinuses. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. You ever had a horseshoe sandwich?
No.
If it's the same thing, I imagine it is. And it's funny you said horseshoe because my wife's like, I'm going to a restaurant with my mom tonight. What do you want? So I looked at the menu. I'm like, I want a horseshoe. It's just like an open face sandwich. It's like a piece of bread. And at this particular restaurant, you can choose any kind of meat you want. So I got chicken. And then I got tater tots on top with smothered in beer cheese.
And that sounds really good.
It's very good. It's my go-to there, but I would imagine that's the same horseshoe he's has.
Well, and I think it is because he did this one at the Illinois State Fair in Springfield, Illinois, back in 2006. He ate 6 pounds, 5 ounces in 12 minutes.
Oh, man. I got the half pounder, and I'll be tapping out about a third of the way through. I've done the full pound before, and I was so miserable. But, yeah, I imagine it's the same thing because I think the horseshoe is an Illinois thing. I'd never heard of it till I moved.
Some of these are just stupid impressive. Like this was in 2006. Grilled cheese sandwiches, 47 in 10 minutes.
Man, I love grilled cheese. That's a lot of carbs, though.
That'd chicken wings, long form, 182 wings in 30 minutes.
I remember we were proud of eating 30 at Hooters one time.
I mean, I can't. Yeah, I struggle getting through 20 now.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he's a legend.
Yeah, he is.
Yes, he is. Where are you putting him to?
I put him at two, so I have number five left.
Samuel Adams.
I like his beer.
So do I.
I mean, he's got really good beer. All the seasonal flavors are all good.
Big fan. Yeah.
Yeah. If I had to redo it, I think I put Paul at 5.
That's fair.
But that's the only thing. Yeah. I'm good with Ulrich.
I don't know much about Samuel Adams' political career. I know either. He signed the Declaration of Independence.
Right.
But don't know much other than the beer, honestly. Of course, George Washington, it's like the first person we hear about when we start school. But then Paul Revere is kind of a, British are coming. That's about all, though. I mean, he warned everyone. But
You remember back in the day when ESPN had awesome commercials, SportsCenter, commercials,
yeah.
And they had that one kind of making a mockery of Paul Revere's ride, but it was Brett Favre, if he's going to retire or not.
I remember that one.
The Lancers, yeah. That was good. And I think it was the New England Patriot mascot doing it.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. So I like it. Very fitting for this week being 4th of July on Friday. That is the blind ranking segment, which is brought to you by Like It Is Every Week, Performer Print Suit Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for next trade show, company picnic, or a sales meeting, Performer Print Suit Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815. All right, well, let's get right into that question that Aaron Lynch fed me last night. Well, he didn't even really feed me. He gave me a city just out of nowhere. He said, outside the Red Wings, I think Detroit's the best pro sports city. And I got to thinking, I'm like, he might be onto something right now.
I guess right now. Now, my mind went back like, okay, from five years ago to now, who is the best sports city?
Okay.
And I landed on Los Angeles. Dodgers have won 2, although one was a Mickey Mouse World Series. Lakers have won 1, Mickey Mouse NBA title. Rams have won a Super Bowl.
True.
I think the LA Galaxy, is that the soccer team? I think they've won a title in the
MLB. Oh, we're only counting to four majors.
LA Kings have had some good years. I don't know. Recently.
They've been struggling recently.
I don't know much about them. Chargers are fine, I guess.
Clippers, man.
I forgot about the Clippers too.
And the Angels.
Angels stink. But
see, that's the thing. LA's got so many teams. It's almost like some of the others weigh them down a little bit.
They do. The Angels are out in Anaheim. I don't even count them. Even though
they are the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
All the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. I get that. But title wise, I mean, for years it was Boston. For years. I mean, Patriots won a bunch. Red Sox won. Celtics won.
Bruins
won like for years, but in the past 5 years, I would say it would be Los Angeles, but Detroit. I mean, Lions are good, I guess. Tigers have had a good.
They're good right now.
140 games. Pistons, I think we're fluky.
Did make the playoffs. Year.
They did make the playoffs, but I would still venture to say it's LA. I mean, the Dodgers, my opinion, best team in baseball still. Rams should be good. Chargers should be good. Lakers, you would imagine, are good, although there have been some trade rumors involving LeBron James. They say they're not going to trade him, but he loves the drama. I would say it's LA. That's just me.
I think you can make a good debate of Detroit over LA right now.
Currently.
But I'm not going back 5 years. I'm going like
right.
The last 2 to 3.
The Lions are, I could see them taking a step back, but they're probably better than the Rams and the Chargers.
Yeah.
Tigers are not better than the Dodgers. I wouldn't say the Pistons are better than the Lakers currently. But as you said, teams like the Angels kind of bring the city down a little bit.
Yeah. Well, the Red Wings are bringing Detroit down a little bit. They've just haven't been good.
Fair. It's a really good question. I was thinking about it all day. Couldn't get it out of my mind.
I mean, I can't throw Denver in the mix because besides last year, the Broncos hadn't done anything in a decade. The Rockies bring the whole everybody down. They're so bad. I mean, Nuggets and Avalanche have been really good the last 5 years, if we're going back 5 years.
But currently, I mean, you can throw Miami into the mix because I think the Heat struggled. Dolphins stink. Marlins.
He were in the playoffs though.
They were, but I mean, the Panthers have won two in a row,
back to back cups.
Yeah. So I guess you can kind of throw them into the mix. I wouldn't say they're because the Marlins really, really bring them down. But
if we're opening up to cities that it doesn't have to be just four major teams, you know, a city that's very underrated is Tampa Bay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the Bucks have been good. Rays have been good. Lightning have been good
for like 15 years.
Yeah, it's an underrated sports city because it's a small market and you don't really think of them. But, I mean, the Rays have had a great run of success. I mean, Tampa Bay's been – I mean, they won a Super Bowl just, 4 years ago.
Yep.
So that's a really good one.
I mean, Chicago, no.
Stanks. Blackhawks and Sox kind of bring – well, they all kind of bring each other down, let's be honest.
I mean, the Cubs are easily high and above all the rest right now. Easily.
Which is sad in itself. after they've been, just four games over 500 each of the past 2 years.
I mean, you think the Bears will put together this year, but I don't know.
Been hearing that forever now. Maybe new coaching staff will help. I would even throw in like three major teams because it's harder to find them all that have, both an NBA and a hockey team.
Right.
But like I was thinking today, Atlanta, I mean, the Hawks stink. Falcons are mediocre. Braves have had a decent run, but they stink this year.
They don't have hockey right now. They lost to Thatcher, even though I read this today. The NHL is thinking about adding an expansion team, and Atlanta's one of the cities. Houston's one of the cities. I would think they would get it.
Yeah.
New Orleans, Indianapolis is one of the cities. I don't think Indianapolis would get it because of the close proximity to Columbus, Ohio, and Chicago.
Didn't Atlanta have a hockey team?
The Thrashers. Then they moved back to Winnipeg and became the Jets again.
On the flip side of things, what's the worst city? Charlotte currently.
Hornets stink. Panthers stink.
Yeah.
Hurricanes were good, but I can't say a hockey team's not going to elevate everybody else up, in my opinion.
Yeah. Phoenix at this point, Cardinals stink. Diamondbacks aren't very. They went to the World Series 2 years ago, lost. Suns stink. Their hockey team left, didn't they?
Yeah, they're in Utah now.
They're in Utah. Yeah, so I would throw Phoenix into the mix.
Yeah.
Seattle,
very average.
Yeah. I mean,
Kraken are okay. Seahawks, all right. Mariners, all right.
Yeah.
They should have the best team in the NBA, but they got rid of them.
Minnesota. I mean, I guess they've been to back to back. Minneapolis, back to back.
You got Timberwolves, Vikings playoff team.
Yeah, Vikings are good.
Twins have down, been okay. down right yeah, now.
Down and up. Down.
Wild are kind of up and down.
Yeah, they're kind of the same as the Twins. Pittsburgh Pirates stink, but Steelers are pretty good. I don't know anything about the Penguins anymore.
Still got Sid the Kid, but I think he could be leading.
Why haven't we talked about Philadelphia being the best? I mean, they just won a Super Bowl. They won. I mean, they're good in baseball.
It's probably because how mediocre the Sixers are and the Flyers haven't done much in the last 5 years.
That's fair. Sixers were terrible this year.
But the Phillies and the Eagles. Absolutely. Yeah. New York, same thing with L.A. Yeah. for me. So many teams.
But they all stink besides the Yankees, essentially. I mean, Mets I think will be good, but Jets, Giants stink, Nets stink. I don't know anything about their hockey.
The Islanders and Rangers. Rangers were okay this year.
But you look at all their teams, they have a Yankees haven't won since 2009, Giants haven't won since 2012, Jets haven't won since the 60s, Mets haven't won since the 80s. Again, no idea.
Knicks Rangers haven't won since the mid-90s.
Yeah.
Or early Knicks, 90s.
70s, right? It's the last time Knicks have won. Nets have never won one.
Yeah. Nets or Brooklyn. Well, I guess we can still count
New Jersey or Brooklyn. Yeah. Well, I mean, the football teams are in New Jersey, too. So.
Yeah. And then you got interesting teams like cities like Buffalo. You know, right away, I'm like, oh, they just got the Bills. I forget about the Sabres.
Sabres are there. Yeah.
Forget about the Sabres. Then you got a lot of cities who only have one team. San Antonio with the Spurs. Green Bay with the Packers. I bounced at Nashville, but they got the Predators for hockey. Jacksonville with the Jaguars.
Yeah.
Orlando with the Magic.
San Francisco has two. They have the Warriors and the Niners. Well, they have three in the Niners and the Giants.
Are we going to count San Jose Sharks in there too? Because it's all kind of
San Jose. Well, I mean, the football team's technically in San. I think where are they?
Santa Clara.
Santa Clara. That's right. San Jose is a completely different entity. It's Northern California, but
in Vegas, I mean, the Raiders have stunk, but the Golden Knights are good. The A's aren't there yet. They don't have a basketball team as of now.
They will.
Yeah, well, they will. So it's a really good debate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think. Is there another one?
Cincinnati has the Bengals and the Reds, both mediocre.
Yeah, there's so much alike. Well, no, the Bengals are better, but they're a lot alike.
They are, but they are similar.
Washington, D.C., Capitals are good. Nationals were, but they aren't anymore. Wizards are awful. They're
terrible.
Commanders were good last year.
1 year though.
Yeah.
Cleveland stinks. Guardians stink this year. Browns always stink. Cavs were good, I guess.
Cavs were good. Yeah, they don't have hockey there. It's weird that Ohio's hockey team's in Columbus. Even though Columbus is big. Columbus is a lot bigger than people think, but
Columbus, it's the biggest city in Ohio.
Yeah, it's keeps like growing.
It's comparable to Indianapolis as far as population goes.
Yeah. But
that it turned into us just talking about each city sports teams.
Pretty much. I'm sure we're forgetting some.
Milwaukee has two, the Bucks and the Brewers, and both are pretty good.
Salt Lake City has two. They both stink.
Yeah.
It's weird to think they have two now.
Kansas City has two, and only one of them are pretty good. And they're very good.
Oklahoma City only has one, and they're the world champs.
Maybe they're the best sports city.
Yeah, maybe.
What have you done for me lately?
State of Kentucky doesn't have any pro teams.
Nope.
Yeah.
New Orleans has the Saints and the Pelicans. They both stink.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to agree with Lynch in State of Detroit.
I'm not going to agree with that one. I'd take L.A. over Detroit, even though I don't like L.A. I'd take Philadelphia over Detroit.
I'm thinking Philadelphia, even though because the Sixers still have made the playoffs a lot, and the Flyers were in the playoffs not too long ago. So
yeah.
I'll take Philly, I guess, even though their fans are the worst. Some of the worst.
They are the worst. I would say they are the worst. I don't know too many of them, though.
It'd be interesting if we opened it up and threw colleges in it as well, but that's hard because so many colleges are in college towns, not big cities.
Well,
so yeah,
it's a fun debate, and
yeah, I
don't like giving Lynch any credit at all. But
me neither. Me neither. But you want to get educated?
I do. I need it.
Let's talk about some sporting events that have happened on this day, on June 30th. Crazy to think July starts
tomorrow. I know. It's wild.
Just this year's flying by. Let's see here. Just before I read that, I got a text here from Sean Shriver. Pittsburgh was the sports city of the 70s. 4 Super Bowls, 2 World Series, and 6 NLDSs.
Dang.
That's why he's a fan, probably.
Yeah, probably.
A lot of Wimbledon. Back in the 1900s. Some U.S. Open in the early 1900s. I won't quiz you there. Oh, kind of fitting with what we're talking about. On this day, 1934, Detroit radio executive George Richards pays 7 That's it. $7,952.08 to buy NFL's Portsmouth Spartans, moves team to Detroit, and rebrands it to the Lions.
Wow. That's a pretty good return on your investment there.
I had to read that. I'm like, is that, yeah, $7,952.08. On this day, 1962, L.A. Dodgers future Baseball Hall of Fame pitcher Sandy Koufax no-hit the New York Mets 5-0, first of his four career no-hitters.
Yeah, one of them was against Cubs, because Cubs went from, I think it was 67, to clear to 2015, not getting no-hit, which is the longest streak in baseball, and then Cole Hamels did it at Wrigley Field.
On this day, 1965, NFL Commissioner Pete Rozelle granted ownership of the Atlanta Falcons to Rankin Smith, Senior Executive VP of Life Insurance Company of Georgia. Rankin pays a then-record $8.5 million.
Man, it's cheap.
Now the Lakers are going for, what, $10
billion? Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know if that was NFL record or overall sports at the time. I don't know. But even there, I think the Commanders went for, like, $6 billion, which was record.
Yeah.
On this day, 1967, Philadelphia Phillies utility man Cookie Rojas, I believe is how you pronounce his name, pitches a scoreless ninth inning in a 12-3 loss to the San Francisco Giants. Rojas has now played all nine positions since arriving in the MLB in 1963.
Oh, that's pretty cool. There, way back in the day, it hasn't happened in, I would say, close to 20 years. Like, you get towards the end of the season, you're on a bad team or a really good team that's not really playing for much because you've either clinched or you're just so bad. And there used to be times where they would have somebody play all nine positions in one game. Hasn't happened in a long time. Especially, I mean, catcher is really the one spot that's kind of hard to stick a guy there that doesn't really know how to play catcher. But it used to be kind of a fun thing some teams would do. I'll have to look it up. The last guy to play all nine.
I was just going to ask you, do you know who the last guy was?
I'm going to look it up right now.
All right. On this day, 1970, Cincinnati's Riverfront Stadium opened as the visiting Atlanta Braves beat the Reds 8-2. Shocker there. It was later demolished in 2002.
The last person to do it was Andrew Romine of the Detroit Tigers in 2017.
Was he related to Austin Romine?
Yes, brothers.
Brothers.
Yeah, mm-hmm. 2017 was the last one. Before that, it was Shane Halter in 2000 and Scott Sheldon in 2000 as well. So
household names.
Yeah, only five players have ever done it, so I was off that it used to happen more often than it did.
Sounded good. On this day, 1977, Yankee designated hitter Cliff Johnson hit three consecutive home runs in Toronto.
Oh, Cliffy.
On this day, 1978, future Baseball Hall of Fame outfielder Larry Doby became only the second African-American manager in MLB when he became manager of the Chicago White Sox.
I want to say Larry Doby was, I don't want to get my facts screwed up, but for some reason in my brain, I have it as he was the second African-American to play in Major League Baseball behind Jackie Robinson. Like, he was the second guy. Okay. Yeah.
On the day 1978, Giants' Willie McCovey became the 12th player in MLB history to hit 500 home runs.
Now he's got a cove named after him, the McCovey Cove.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
On the day 1982, New Jersey NHL franchise officially named Devils by a fan balloting based off the legend of the Jersey Devil, a creature that allegedly inhabited the Pine Barrens of South Jersey.
I wish they'd let us choose sports teams' names more often.
Well, that's got, like, and I'm glad you brought that up because I meant to, like, earlier when we were saying that the NHL might expand and bring another team in. I'm thinking if Indianapolis happened to get a team, what would be the nickname? They were the Racers back, like, the minor league team back when Gretzky played the Indianapolis Racers. But you already got the Pacers. You don't need.
Yeah. Don't they have a minor league team there still?
The Fuel. They play in Fishers now.
Hmm.
Yeah. I don't know what same level as Fort Wayne Comets. So I think it's like I think in hockey you have a couple levels like you do.
Yeah.
Major leagues. So
I wonder if they'd be the Indiana or the Indianapolis.
Mm. Great question. Because basketball's Indiana, football's Indianapolis. And so it's minor league baseball. Indianapolis.
Yeah.
No?
Indianapolis Indians, yeah. I'm surprised they were able to keep the Indians nickname.
Yeah, that's a good point. I had not thought about that.
I neither until just now.
The Indiana corn fields. Indiana corn cobs.
Corn cobs. The Indiana pork tenderloins.
Oh, sign me up.
Yeah.
Love myself in pork.
Big fan.
On this day in 1988, Chicago agrees to build a new stadium so the White Sox won't move to Florida.
Yeah, the whole reason that Tropicana Field was built in Tampa was for the Chicago White Sox to move there. And Jerry does what he does best and slime balls his way into a new stadium in Chicago. And we'll see if that happens again with all the Nashville rumors flying around. But
I bet it will.
Yeah, and he's a bottom man. It's hard to say it because he won 6 NBA titles and he won a World Series title. But currently, he's a bottom 5 owner in all of sports.
Yes,
if not fair. A bottom 2.
That's fair. And I wanted to say, well, he didn't win him. Michael Jordan did well, but he drafted him or his franchise. Because didn't he own the Bulls when they drafted him or not?
I don't know. No, that's a good question. He just happened to be the owner when they were really good. So he was awfully lucky.
Yeah.
Awfully lucky.
Yeah. On this day, 1993, MLB Cleveland Indians owner Richard Jacobs announced the team mascot Chief Wahoo will move with the team to Jacobs Field.
It's no longer called Jacobs Field.
Nope. And they are no longer the Indians, and Chief Wahoo's no longer a mascot.
Yeah. Oh, are they Progressive Field now?
Progressive, I believe, yeah. On this day, that's something we need to do one of these days, quiz each other on stadium names
across the board. They change so often anymore.
Yeah, I know. On this day, also in 1993, the NBA draft was held. Who was the first pick by the Orlando Magic in the 1993 NBA draft?
93? That wasn't Shaq, was it?
Was not.
Nick Anderson was a few years before that, and he wasn't number one overall anyway. Was it Penny?
Good guess.
Orlando Magic. I don't know.
Chris Webber then traded to the Golden State Warriors.
Stupid trading thing. They need to get that figured out with them wearing the hats.
Oh, it's ridiculous. How are we still doing that in 2025?
No clue.
It's embarrassing.
No clue. Do we know if Ace Bailey showed up in Utah today like he was supposed to?
I have no idea. That dude's a bomb, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah. What a way to make an impression.
Yep. On this day in 1994, we got three different events. Giants outfielder Darren Lewis errs after a record 392 flawless games. Hmm. Also, the pretrial hearings open in L.A. against O.J. Simpson.
Orenthal James.
And the U.S. Ice Skating Federation bars Tonya Harding for life.
That was a big day in the sports world in 94. Man.
Yeah, it was.
At least Darren Lewis's heir probably got misremembered a lot of times.
Who was the number one overall NBA draft pick on this day in 1999 by the Chicago Bulls?
By the Chicago Bulls. Was that Eddie Curry?
He was not number one overall pick.
I think he was third.
They did take him and Tyson Chandler in the same draft, though.
I remember that. Number one by the Bulls. It's going to make me mad.
And he played for the Bulls for a little bit.
Elton Brand.
Elton Brand out of Duke.
I got there. Got there.
Yep. Let's see here. On this day in 2013, the NHL draft was held as the Colorado Avalanche took center Nathan MacKinnon with the number one overall pick. And that's
been around long already.
There's 12 seasons. He was 18, so he's already 30, but he's in his prime right now. So yeah.
Did he just go straight to the league and didn't have to play any minor?
Correct. Correct. On this day, 2019, the Brooklyn Nets loaded up on an elite NBA talent on the first day of free agent as an agency as they signed Kevin Durant from Golden State, Kyrie Irving from Boston, and DeAndre Jordan from New York Knicks. And that got them Jack's
nowhere. Yeah.
And that's going to do it for this week's On This Day segment, which is brought to you by Moody Wood Laser Crafts. Mooney Wood Laser Crafts is a veteran-owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs to fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of their recently completed projects by visiting them at Moody Wood Laser Crafts on Instagram and on Facebook. And if you let them know the Tan and Jamin Show sent you, you get 15% off your first sign order. It's almost July. You know, Christmas in July, so...
About just 6 saying. Hours left just in Central Time.
Yeah, so even less over here in Eastern Time.
5 hours there.
So, yeah. All right, J-Man. So, we've said it numerous times, but we're basically in July. We will be in July when everybody's listening to the audio of this tomorrow. And so now we can really start, I think, to think of who are pretenders and who are contenders in the MLB at this point.
Yeah. Teams are starting to separate themselves a little bit, and some teams are starting to fall back. Some teams have started to get hot. And I just have Baseball Reference pulled up here. I'm not going to throw any of the teams leading divisions out there as a pretender or contender, because I think we would all agree they're all contenders. But I think it's fascinating in the AL East, the hottest team in baseball, the Tampa Bay Rays. Are they a pretender? Are they a contender?
All right, are we saying contender to make the playoffs or contender to win it all?
Contender to make the playoffs.
They're a contender then. I think they can make the playoffs. I don't think they can win it all.
Yeah, they're a game and a half out behind the New York Yankees. They are 10 games over 500. They have played some really good baseball lately. I'm going to go pretender. I think they've just had a great hot streak here heading into the end of the first half, in a sense. I mean, they've played 84 games now. And I just think they'll fall back. I mean, they've had, you know, great contributions from their lineup top to bottom. Brandon Lau's had a great year. Junior Caminero is 21 years old, has 20 homers. Yandy Diaz is still very good. Jonathan Aranda has been one of the best hitters in baseball this year, hitting .325. So they have some young talent that's pretty fun to watch, and they always pitch. I mean, 3.71 ERA as a team. I'm going to go pretender just for the sake of argument here. But I could very easily see them making the playoffs, as they are currently 3.5 games up in a playoff spot. But I think they'll fall back, in my opinion. Toronto Blue Jays, pretender or contender?
Knew that was coming up next. I think they're a pretender.
Yeah, they're 45-38. Baseball Reference gives them a 55% chance to make the postseason. They have the talent to contend or to be a contender. I mean, Vladdy Jr. Having a very solid season, yet kind of unspectacular by his measure. Bo Bichette's had a nice bounce back year. They have George Springer, who's still hitting the ball out of the ballpark. Alejandro Kirk's a very good offensive catcher. Pitching's a question. Have an ERA over 4 as a squad, so they really need to make some moves at the deadline to bolster the pitching staff. I think I'm going to put them in the contender category. I think they are more of a contender than the Tampa Bay Rays, in my opinion.
They're one of the better teams at home in the league. 25-16 record at home.
Yeah,
and you know, Toronto's a city we didn't even talk about. With the Blue Jays, the Maple Leafs, and the Raptors.
Yeah, they've had some good success.
They've been all right. I mean, the Raptors are the only one to bring a title home recently.
Yeah. I'm going to skip over the American League Central because the Tigers are the only team over 500. I mean, Guardians, Twins, Royals, all very disappointing so far this year, and all at least 11.5 games back. The AL West,
I think the White Sox have been better than I thought they were going to be. Just throw
they have. They have 28 wins already, which is bad. They're 28-56, but they will shatter their wins from last year. Yep. Should shatter it. Yep. AL West, Houston Astros are 50-34. They are very surprising that they are this good, especially with, you know, they traded Kyle Tucker. Alex Bregman signed with the Red Sox. Yordan Alvarez has barely played this year. Justin Verlander is no longer there, but it's just next man up for them.
They are the new what used to be St. Louis Cardinals.
Definitely. Yeah. Every year they're going to be good, even if you don't think they are.
Yep.
But that brings me to the team who's now second in the American League West, and that is the Seattle Mariners. They are 43-40, 6.5 games out of the West. Baseball Reference still likes them, though. Gives them a 62.7% chance to make the postseason.
Yeah, I'm going to call them a contender to make the postseason. But, man, they're close. They're right on the edge for me.
Yeah. They have probably the guy right now who will finish second in the MVP voting, which we talked about that a little bit last week. The big dumper, Cal Raleigh, who has 32 homers, 69 RBIs, leading baseball in both of those categories. Julio Rodriguez, very good outfielder. Randy Arozarena is a seasoned vet. J.P. Crawford as well. But offense as a whole, if you take out Cal Raleigh, their offense stinks. So they're going to need another bat. It's been this way for years. They can pitch the heck out of it, though. I mean, Brian Wu has been fantastic. So has Logan Gilbert. They have so many different guys in there. And then their bullpen's great as well. So I think pitching-wise, I'm going to put them in the contender category. And I would not be surprised to see if they make a little bit of run at the Astros as well. Looking at the AL West, after them, the Angels are actually in third at 41-42. The Texas Rangers are insanely disappointing, and especially after the winning the World Series 2 years ago, and they have just been bad, flat out bad. They're old. Not sure where they go from here, but I'm going to put them, all of them, in the pretenders category.
Yeah, and I think I trust the Rangers more than the Angels. If I had to pick between those two.
Yeah. The Rangers have, obviously the guys that have won a World Series with them, but they have, the wily old vets, Marcus Semien, who's had a bad year. Corey Seager's having a bad year. They pitch all right. I mean, Jacob DeGrom's having, the best year he's had because he's actually healthy. He looks like vintage Jacob DeGrom. They actually have a 3.27 ERA as a squad. So Nady Evaldi's a stud, so they can really pitch. They just can't score enough runs, which is a conundrum if you can't score. Moving on to the National League, the East, the Mets have played some trash baseball here recently.
3-7, last 10.
Yeah, I think they've lost, seven of their last 10, including getting swept by the Pittsburgh Pirates over the weekend in the most lopsided sweep in franchise history. Gave up, I think, at least 8 runs every single game and barely scored any. And that's not a recipe for success. So the Phillies, who have not played all that well either, are now leading the NL East at 49-35. Mets are 48-37. I think we'd both agree that they are contenders.
Yeah. They're both in the playoffs. Yeah.
Yeah. They're very good. I mean, Juan Soto's really started to heat up and turn in, of course, one of the best hitters in baseball, like we thought. Pete Alonso's having a great year. Francisco Lindor's having a good year. Brandon Nimmo's having a good year. They could use another bat to shore up third base, especially because third base has kind of been a black hole. But they've pitched well. I mean, David Peterson's been great. Clay Holmes, Kodai Senga, their entire starting rotation has an ERA under 4. So I think they'll get it turned around pretty quick and ultimately win the NL East is what I'm saying, even though in my bold predictions this season, I said they wouldn't make the playoffs at all. But the Braves are an interesting one because they have the talent. They've been there, done that, but they're sitting here at 38-45, 10.5 out of the NL East and 8 out of a wild card spot. So they are a team that I think is very, very, very capable of getting hot and making a run at it, but it remains to be seen if they're going to be capable of that. Ronald Acuna Jr. coming back from his ACL injury, hit 360 with 9 homers. He's been one of the best players in baseball since he's come back. But other than that, Matt Olson's having a pretty good year. Marcelo Zuna's doing what he usually does. Austin Riley's been okay. Ozzie Albies is having a terrible year. Their middle infield as a whole has had a bad year. Left field's a black hole. They haven't caught all that well either behind the plate. And then they've pitched okay. So I think, especially with Chris Sale being hurt right now, I would say they are for sure pretender at this point. But very capable.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like you said, they're capable, but I think it's one of those things they're going to, even if they wake up and it's just going to be too late,
Yeah, I agree. They have to get hot.
Going through the motions a lot this year. So.
Yeah, they have to get hot like now. Like yeah. Now until the trade deadline, they have to get on a roll to even stay.
I mean, heck, we're talking them up a little bit, you know, because we know they got the capability. But I mean, the Marlins and Nationals are just right behind them.
Yeah, so barely.
That's where
yeah.
they are right now. So
yep. Yeah, Marlins have been one of the higher teams in baseball as well. They had a
eight and two last 10. Yeah,
they had an 8-game win streak on the road, which is like the longest they've had in a long time. So they're just a half game behind the Braves. Nationals stink, but they're only 3.5 behind them. So, seems like a 2-horse race there. But in the NL Central, as of right now, this is shaping up to be the best battle. Mm-hmm. Which I think, coming into the year, people thought it'd be a pretty good battle, but I don't think they thought 4 of the 5 teams would be over 500. Cubs saw their 6.5 game lead dwindle down to 2. Brewers are 2 out. Cardinals 2.5. Cincinnati 5 out.
I couldn't believe I hadn't looked at the standings a little bit. I couldn't believe the Reds are over 500. So
yeah, they played very well in June. Not surprisingly so, because I still think that they are the second best team in that division, talent wise. But starting with the Brewers at 47-37.
Yeah, the Brewers are they're a franchise that's hard to put my finger on.
Yeah,
they've been consistently good for a long time. But I don't view them as a championship contender. No. But playoffs, absolutely. I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they're a contender. They have a culture about them that they're always going to win, and it's very annoying because you look top to bottom. Their lineup's not that great. Their pitching staff's just okay. But then, I mean, you look at their numbers, and here they are. Right around league average offensive club. Good pitching staff, but you're wondering, how are they 10 games over 500? Well, they find a way to win games, and it's very frustrating as a Cubs fan to watch.
And it's funny because growing up for a long time in our childhood, they were so bad with Jeff Jenkins and Richie Sexton and Jeremy Burnett and those guys. They just they couldn't even get fourth in the division. Like they're just bad. But
yeah, they were losing 90 plus games about every single year. Mm-hmm. St. Louis Cardinals.
I'm trying to think of my playoff numbers here. I think they're good enough to make the playoffs, but I don't have them making it, so I'm going to call them pretender.
I think they're a pretender. I've been saying it for 6 weeks, though, and they keep playing very good baseball.
7-3.
They have an offense that doesn't slug. They have one guy that steals bases, but they're in a just ridiculously good defensive team, which has helped a pitching staff that has the lowest strikeout rate of any team in baseball because their infield defense and their outfield defense has been so good, led by, you know, Mason Wynn at shortstop and Victor Scott out in the outfield. I mean, those guys can go and get it. And of course, obviously having Arenado there at the hot corner helps, but they don't slug. They're not a fast team. Their pitching staff's just okay. So I'm going to put them in the pretender category because I just don't think their play is sustainable. And I know that's probably going to catch up with me as soon as this weekend when they come to Wrigley Field. But Cubs were able to find a way to split after losing the first two in St. Louis last week. They ended up winning the final two, which was very big. But I just don't think the Cardinals can sustain it. I think even Cardinals management was kind of coming into the year, okay, we're going to sell, and I still think they probably hope they do sell a little bit. But at this point, it's hard to justify. But, you know, there's a month left till the deadline, and a lot can happen. Cincinnati Reds.
I put Cardinals as a pretender. I'm putting the Reds as a pretender.
I'm putting the Reds as a contender to make the playoffs. I think with that pitching staff, they will be in every single game. They have to stay healthy because, their pitching staff just hasn't been able to stay healthy. Hunter Green got hurt, and I think he got hurt again. I don't know if he's back, but he's a stud. Andrew Abbott's been one of the best lefties in the game. Nick Lodolo's very good. Nick Martinez took a no-hitter into the ninth over the weekend. I think Brady Singer's fine. They need some bullpen help. Because their bullpen's not very good, but they have one really, really good offensive player, and that's Ellie De La Cruz, who's having a very good year. But they need some offensive help. TJ Friedl's been very good in the outfield. Spencer Steer is finally starting to come around a little bit. He hit 3 homers in a game over the weekend. Matt McClain's starting to hit a little bit better. They need a third baseman. They need a corner outfielder. They have quite a few needs offensively, but I'm going to put them in a contender spot because I think on paper they are the second best team in the NL Central. I've been saying it all year. So
there hasn't been a no-hitter thrown yet this year, has there?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't remember. If there has been, it might have been a combined no-no. I don't remember a singular.
No, I'm not pitcher. Counting that.
No, I don't either. But yeah, I don't remember a single pitcher throwing.
I'm looking
a
it up.
No-hitter. Yeah. Moving on to the NL West, we have the San Diego Padres, who since starting out 13-3 are 3 games under 500.
I still think they're a contender to make the playoffs.
I agree. Fernando Tatis Jr. has kind of fallen off a little bit, but still a potential MVP candidate. Jackson Merrill.
No hitters yet this year. No hitters yet. Not even combined.
Huh. All right. Manny Machado has been very good per usual. Xander Bogaerts has been kind of a bust of a free agent for them. He's been bad. Luis Arraez makes a ton of contact, but it's kind of a punch and Judy at this point. They need a catcher that can hit, or catcher stink. Pitching wise though, they should be good and they are pretty good. I mean, Dylan Cease is having a bad year, but Nick Pivetta has been great. Randy Vasquez has been good. Steven Kolek good. Michael King good. Bullpen's been good. So yeah, I'm gonna put them in the contender category and, think they should be a playoff team, but that's a bear of a division, to play in. But, the coldest team in probably all of baseball, besides maybe the Rockies, are the San Francisco Giants. I believe they just got swept over the weekend in Chicago against the White Sox.
4-6 the last 10.
I must be wrong then. No, they lost 2-3 to the White Sox. They got swept at home by the Miami Marlins. So yeah. I think Giants fans were looking at this stretch like, all right, we can make up some ground here. And then they end up going, 1-5 against the Marlins and White Sox. And they are struggling to score runs. But they did trade for whatchamacallit from the Red Sox, whose name is for some reason
Devers.
Escaping me at this point. Rafael Devers, who hasn't done a whole lot in his 12 games there. But yeah, first base as a whole, they're not getting any offensive production from their middle infield, their catcher. Their outfield's been okay, getting very little production from the DH. They can pitch though. 3.41 ERA. Logan Webb and Robbie Ray are one of the best duos in baseball in that rotation, and they have a really good bullpen as well. So I'm gonna put them in the contender category, though. I think they'll be fine.
I'm gonna put both the Giants and the Diamondbacks into pretender.
Okay. I wasn't even throwing the Diamondbacks in there. I agree, though. I think they're a pretender. I think they're right around 500, a game under, maybe.
Then you got the Rockies at 19-65 with an 8-32 record at home. 8-32 at home.
That they've gotten hot on the road then, because through May, I think they only had
33 on the road.
11-33. Through May, I think they only had 3 or 4 road wins. Total
two and eight their last 10 games. Dick, sell the team. Awful.
Yeah. Awful. Well, he just promoted his.
I know.
Son to,
it's a laughing stock. He will not hire people outside the organization. He's an idiot.
He is an idiot.
He is.
The Diamondbacks will be a team to watch going forward, though, because unless they get hot, they will be a hot commodity for contenders to go and pillage their. Roster, Eugenio Suarez, Zach Gallen, Merrill Kelly, litany of guys that will be very hot commodities. And I hope the Cubs do their due diligence, which I think they will. Every report has said they are all in trying to make moves now. So, and they need it because Cubs pitching has stunk and they have not played very good baseball here the past 2 weeks or so, but they're treading water, which is all you can kind of do. They haven't won a series against a team over 500 since they took 2 or 3 against the Dodgers. Or no, they took 2 against the Dodgers in a 2-game series back in April. So, Yeah, it's been a long time since they've really beaten good teams, and they need to figure it out quickly.
You want to throw your bucket on a cup prediction for the week?
Not particularly. They play Cleveland for three, who just got waxed by the Cardinals, and then the St. Louis Cardinals come to town for three. You know what? Screw it. I think the Cubs win 5 of 6 this week. I think they kind of bounce back a little bit after a 3-4 road trip, which 3-4 road trips aren't bad, honestly, on the surface. Yeah, J-Man's Book It Prediction of the Week brought to you by Travis Watchering Insurance Agency for life, home, auto, business, renters, workers' comp, and farm insurance. Contact Travis at 219-869-4561.
And J-Man, before we get to the birdie or bogey question, your Miami Dolphins were involved in a trade today. A rare player-for-player trade. Two good players involved in a trade.
Yeah.
Three good players involved in a trade. The Steelers are acquiring cornerback Jalen Ramsey, tight end Janu Smith, and a 2027 seventh-round pick. And the Dolphins are getting safety Minkah Fitzpatrick back in Miami and a 2027 fifth-round choice.
Yeah, when the trade first came out, it was Jalen Ramsey for Minkah Fitzpatrick. I'm like, heck yeah. It was stupid. They traded him away. It was a completely Brian Flores decision. He could not stand Minkah Fitzpatrick. Chris Greer loved him. Stephen Ross loved him. But they knew it probably wouldn't work with Flores at the helm. So they traded him for a first-round pick a few years ago. And now he's back. Jonnu Smith, he was arguably their most consistent receiver last year. I mean, he set the Dolphins record for a tight end for yards and catches, I believe, in a season. He had a great year, but he's on the wrong side of 30. He wanted a big raise, and he had the best year of his career, you know, and it probably wasn't sustainable, so that makes sense. But no, getting Ramsey out of there, he's been a diva and forced his way out of every single spot he's ever been in. So now you get an elite-level safety back. Overall, thumbs up from the J-Man. We'll see how it ends up, but thumbs up.
NFL.com lists the winners and losers of the trade. Winners, Aaron Rodgers. Winners, Arthur Smith, offensive coordinator of the Steelers. Jalen Ramsey, Minkah Fitzpatrick, and Jonnu Smith. Losers, Tua, Mike McDaniel.
Yeah.
And the Dolphins' exterior defense.
The funny thing is, Jonnu, like Arthur Smith, didn't even use Jonnu in Atlanta. I think that's where the Dolphins got him from. And Arthur Smith just refused to use him.
They said the Steelers sniffed around Falcons' Kyle Pitts, but couldn't get him.
I think the Dolphins will make a move for a tight end now because they have the worst tight end room in the sport at this point. So we'll see. We got a long ways till football.
Yeah. Trade camp starts tomorrow.
Weeks.
Yeah, it's coming. So yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah. So birdie or bogey, J-Man, yes. There's 13 cities in the United States that have all four major league teams. Can you name the one city out of those 13 that is in the longest championship drought?
No. I'm going to go with, have all four. Is it Detroit?
Not Detroit, because the Red Wings won a cup. Couldn't
tell you. Is it New York?
It's not New York.
Okay, that was my second guess. It's not Chicago, because Chicago's won one more recently than New York has. It's not L.A., obviously. Is it Dallas?
The Rangers just won the World Series 2 years ago.
Oh, they did, didn't they? I was just literally just talking about the Rangers winning it. I have no idea. Give it to me.
Minneapolis.
I should have thought that.
Twins in 91.
Should have thought that, because Vikings haven't won one.
Timberwolves never have. Now the Minneapolis Lakers did. Yeah.
Well, I'm embarrassed once again.
And the Wild never have. So.
Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man Show. We'll be back at it next Monday with another episode. Have a fantastic week, everybody.
Have a happy and safe 4th of July, everybody.
You ball your fingers.